Insurrection. Obstruction. Indictments. Civilly liable for sexual abuse. The one man responsible for all that could be sitting in a prison cell on election day and still be elected commander-in-chief for these United States. That man is beholden to Putin, weakened NATO the last time around, and is currently tying himself to wealthy Saudi oil money. He enriched himself when government stated his properties. He campaigned on wanting to use government to go after his political rivals and wants to expand executive power. If Donald Trump is reelected, our nation is lost. So let's roll up our sleeves, get to work, and tell the MAGA folks no more before it's too late.
From New Orleans, Louisiana. To join the conversation, as always, it's 914-803-4131. That's 914-803-4131. Of course, you can always join us in the various chat rooms that we have. First, you can always, there's the YouTube chat room at liberaldanradio.com, which brings you to the YouTube channel. And there's the, Twitch chat room, twitch.tv/liberaldanradio as well. If you happen to be listening on Blog Talk Radio, just come on over to either one of those two. And remember to follow and subscribe both of those places to help those algorithms out and participate over there, because those are, I don't really monitor the Blog Talk Radio chat room. But some of the best ways you can help the channel is if you haven't subscribed to the channel, subscribe already. Encourage your friends to do the same on YouTube. We are getting closer and closer. We're just about like just over 50 now away, 50 subscribers away on YouTube, which is free to do, to get to the 1,000 subscriber mark, which is the next affiliate level requirement. And on Twitch, you can, following is free. You can subscribe on Twitch for free as well if you have an Amazon Prime account. Doesn't cost you anything. Just use your free Prime subscription, and I get a little few shekels in my pocket, so to speak. And otherwise, you could always buy subscriptions on Twitch, gift them for others, buy memberships on YouTube, gift them for others, buy super chats, all that other good stuff. You could also buy me a cider either by going to liberaldan.com and click the buy me a cider button, or you can also go to buymeacoffee.com/liberaldanradio. That'll get you there, or Venmo is Liberal Dan as well. Shouts out to House Sparks, who had me on Friday. If you happen to miss the Friday show, afternoon show for Hal, go check it out. I was on the second half of the show. Well, there was kind of two shows because he had to shut down his stream and bring it back up because of his some technical issues, I guess, that he had. But it was a good time. So that was fun. I really enjoyed doing that, and I'm hoping that maybe there's conversations that it could be a more regular thing. So that would be fun to do. And whenever I participate with Hal in whatever form, either him coming here or me going there, my numbers did bump up a little bit, which got me up from like the high 800s to the mid 900s, which is awesome. So to anybody new watching the show right now who is new from Hal Sparks, fellow Sparklers, welcome. Thank you again very much for coming over and joining the Liberal Dan team as well. We're all one big happy family, and Hal's trying to do what I've been arguing that we should be doing as well. I've been arguing for a long time that we need to raise the kind of the minor leagues of liberal talk so that we have a more effective weapon to fight against the conservative media out there, because that's the one thing that the conservatives do really, really, really well, is that they have people who they have lots of talk radio people at the lower levels, and they rise up and they get higher up and more well known. And they go, you know, they go to the Fox Newses and they go to the nationally syndicated radio shows and everything like that. So when one steps away or one has a scandal and needs to go away, if they send them away, because sometimes the scandalous people don't go away, as we all well know, they have somebody else to step up. And they also have people to fight in the local markets as well, whereas progressive folks, liberal folks, you know, leftist folks, we don't have as much of a say, and we need to fight them at this level as well, because the future of our country depends on it. And so I've been arguing for this. I have a video about supporting smaller podcasts somewhere down deep in the archives. I should find that video. But it's great that Hal is doing that for myself, Boston Brian, and other folks as well. So big shout out again to Hal. Lots of thanks for him and for having me on the show. It's always a good time. You know, as I was telling one of my friends over the weekend, me and Hal have almost identical political viewpoints. Most things we agree on. There's a few divergences, but I mean, we pretty much, you know, have almost the same brain. It's really good. It's really it's really good that we get along so well. And one of the things that actually proved that is the first time that I had Hal on, he was only supposed to be on for maybe a half hour or so. Like, I had him scheduled to come on for 8:30, and he was probably going to be on from 8:30 to 9, and we talked for 2.5 hours, and I was just like, whoa, that was awesome. And so, and you know, whenever we talk, it's a good time. So, so shouts out to the Mod Squad, Aaron, and I don't see Jolie in the chat yet. So if she's not here, hope everything is okay. Of course, the mods, you know, free to come and go as they please. So it's, you know, they are volunteers. So I always appreciate all the hard work that they do for me. One of these days, hopefully we'll get big enough and I can pay them. And shouts out to Wes, P-Dubs, Janelle, Jeff, Suzanne, Steve from across the pond. I don't know if I missed anybody. Trucker John is here. Hey, Trucker John. Again, congrats to Trucker John for recently hitting that 1,000, hitting that affiliate mark. Mr. Spock, live long and prosper. I picked up a friend from the airport the other day. Speaking of across the pond, I picked up a friend from the airport, and she married a guy and moved across the pond over to England, and so she's been living over there a good bit. And she, on her way back over here, she was in on the plane with a plane full of people going to a dentist convention, and I'm just like, the jokes just write themselves, don't they? And she was like, yeah, you think, because there's the obvious, you know, joke about, you know, British folks and you know, not having good teeth or what have you. And I'm not, you know, don't want to make too many generalizations. Steve, you may very well have a nice set of chompers over there. But we were chuckling about that. And then, of course, she was telling me how the dentist that was sitting next to her on the plane was using ChatGPT to write his speech that he was writing on some topic of dentistry. She didn't want to be too snoopy, but she could tell that he was writing something on dentistry, and he was using ChatGPT to write it. And I was like, again, the jokes write themselves. So, oh, it's Jolie. Hey, I speak of the devil. Jolie comes in. I mentioned Jolie. Jolie is there. So there we go. Welcome, Jolie. Thank you for joining. Appreciate you as always. I was worried. Let's see. I just got your mom home from the hospital. There you go. Well, there you go. take as long as you need, Jolie, to deal with your mother. And if for some reason it takes a longer and we don't see you for the rest of the night, we love you and we wish you well. And just take care of your mom. If you know, clearly she's the priority. So big love from Liberal Dan and all the Danimals to you and your mother. I'm sure Aaron and I can hold down the fort as a while, as you do the important stuff. So, because in the grand scheme of things, I'm not that important. anyway, what else did I want to chat about before that? Oh, today is 311 day, because it's, March 11th. And it was weird for a few years in a row. 311 would actually come to New Orleans on 311 day. And I found it very weird that they would specifically pick New Orleans to come to on 311 day, but I guess they've moved on to some other city to come original, if you will, on 311 day. But I always found it weird that when you listen to the song Come Original by 311, that it sounds like almost every single one of their songs. And I actually have gotten kind of tired of 311, and the only 311 that I like is Love Song, and that's just them covering somebody else's song. So, you know, it is what it is. Big Hook, Mike Myers' trio of Austin Powers movies gave a toothy humor a naughty twist. Yep. The tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth, so to speak. Anyway, and remember, if anybody's not getting along in the chat, just remember, when we have discussions, we discuss the topics, we don't discuss the people, we don't attack the people. So, as Hal's mods will say, just block the people if you don't want to listen to them, if you don't want to hear them. It's there's nothing wrong with a block. If you want to do that. So this weekend also, I got a little sun. I don't know if you can tell, but I got a little sun. I actually have two little sons, but we went to a parade on Sunday. They have the Irish Italian parade. They have several Irish Italian parades all over, before St. Patrick's Day. And, they'll have the Mardi Gras floats that they'll recycle and reuse and bring out again. And they'll throw beads like they do for Mardi Gras parades, but they'll also throw stuff like cabbage and carrots and other sorts of various things. And basically, a lot of the times they'll call going to the parade making groceries. And in New Orleans, that's what a lot of people in New Orleans call grocery shopping, is making groceries. I don't know why it's making groceries. I don't know why that became how it got called, but that's your New Orleans vernacular lesson for the day. Going out grocery shopping is called making groceries. So we came home with teen heads of cabbage, a whole bunch of like oranges and lemons. That's why right now I'm drinking some freshly made lemonade. So with a good amount of diabetes in it. So the daminated Danimals. Excuse me. And Suzanne, remember, if Wes gets too far, he'll get a mute from Aaron. So don't worry about it. Aaron can put the foot down. Also remember, we got 22 viewers and 17 likes. Remember to smash that like button, and then the patriarchy. Make sure to keep those likes up. It helps the algorithms up. Al Gore needs lots of rhythm. I'll beat that dead horse because that's been my joke for a while now. I don't know if other people may have picked it up, but for the longest time, everyone was picking on Al Gore for the comment that he made on saying that he helped to create the internet. When in reality, what he really meant was that he helped pass the legislation that made the internet what it is today. Because of course, if you know the history of the internet, it's been around for a while, but it was like the ARPANET before or whatever. And then I was like, well, Of course, he created the internet because every internet is based on code, and all code is based on an algorithm. So, and, you know, even before I became a dad, I was telling dad jokes. Anyway, praise be Katie Britt if you're here. Yes, under his eye. Yeah, if there was anybody who was looking more like a Stepford wife or an of Donald, it would be Katie Britt. I mean, we talked about that a little bit on Hal's show the other day, but holy crap. Like, I don't like the word I'll use the word optics every now and then just to kind of mock it, but like the optics of that is just, you have a woman speaking from the kitchen. Like, how more Republican can you be? You have a guy running in North Carolina for governor who is not just an anti-Semite, but thinks we should go back to a time when before women could be able to vote. And he thinks that that was a feature of this country, not a bug. And, you know, he would want her, you know, I'm surprised they didn't show whether or not she was barefoot or not in the kitchen. And then, you know, whether or not she, you know, she could have been like, look, I'm not wearing any shoes, and here's my pregnancy test, and it's positive, and FJB, or whatever she would want to say on there, because it was absolutely ridiculous. And she had the nerve to talk about, in her response to the State of the Union, about how Americans, you know, do anything. We went over to Europe and fought fascism and defeated fascism over in Europe. Like, yeah, but now the Republican Party won't do crap about Putin and his aggression against Ukraine. And Viktor Orban stated loud and clear that if Donald Trump becomes president, he's not going to give a single penny to Ukraine. So he's saying the quiet part out loud. I mean, I think we all know that. I mean, it's not that quiet. We all know that Donald Trump is, if elected, will bend over backwards or forwards or whichever way Putin wants him to. He'll fold like a table or lawn chair or whatever euphemism you want to use to describe all the which ways that Donald Trump would bend over or whatever for his buddy Vlad. But you know that Donald Trump won't do anything to stop Putin. It just came out recently, that was confirmed recently, that there was conversations. I mean, there were people who were talking about the possibilities of Vladimir Putin using small-scale nuclear weapons over Ukraine. But when Ukraine was making advances into Crimea, there's actually confirmation now that Putin and his generals or what have you were talking about using a nuke. Like, and they refer to it as a small nuke. I mean, I guess in the grand scheme of things, you know, there are nukes that are small nukes comparatively to what we have now. I mean, they did say it might be the size of what we dropped on Hiroshima. But, you know, I'm sure the people who lived there didn't think it was that small. I'm sure they were terrified of that. Yet, I'm sure, and if it happened with Biden in the presidency, he would lead the world in condemnation and the shunning of Russia and whatever else might have to happen if Russia dared to drop the first nuclear weapon since World War II, and if, you know, I think it would be the first nuclear weapon detonated, like, above soil of the planet since, like, 1980, or since the 80s, or something. Donald Trump saw that Putin dropped a nuke. He'd probably want to be there with a lawn chair, like, sitting there staring at it, like he stared at the eclipse that one time, because he's a frickin' dumbass. Yeah, Mish, Gilead awaits. Yes, Gilead does await. I mean, my wife couldn't watch. I mean, I watch Handmaid's Tale. I like watching the show because I think the show is well done. But my wife couldn't watch the show. She was like, "It's too real. It's too close to home. It's too much what these people want." So, anyway, like it's just one of the many, many dangers of having Donald Trump become the next president. And I feel like I'm almost to the point where I feel like I can start making the videos again of the case for Joe Biden and the case against Donald Trump, because I could probably make it through a whole one without coughing. I basically made it through Hal's show the other day. I only had two coughs, and when I did, it was like I muted myself, but it was only two, and it was fine. And like I'm doing okay so far. Still have a little bit of a tickle in the throat, but you know, helps that I'm keeping myself hydrated, so to speak. Even with the diabetes lemonade. I do have some more water on top of it if I run out of the diabetes lemonade. I do like a little bit of lemon in my sugar water, so to speak. Right, but the State of the Union, I mean, we talked about this a lot on Hal, so I'm not going to rehash too much of it. But, you know, nobody can ever use the term Sleepy Joe. Because, I mean, and it's clear that, you know, they were like, they completely did a 180 and it stops being Sleepy Joe. And now it's what drugs are he on? Where was he on that night in order for him to be so animated? I'm like, that's the way Joe Biden is. He gets passionate sometimes and he's passionate about the issues. He wants to work with you. And the only flaw with there's one flaw with the Joe Biden campaign is that he doesn't talk about student loans enough, but maybe they have a plan to start talking about that later. Maybe they have a plan on working it out. Who knows? Maybe, I mean, I was concerned back in 2008 when Obama was running for president, and he kept on trying to rack up all of the states in the South. And I'm like, why is he focusing on the states that Democrats can't win in the fall? It doesn't make any sense to target those states. Well, as it turns out, that was the way to beat Hillary Clinton, is he racked up all of those delegates in the southern states. Hillary Clinton didn't get those delegates, and that's how Obama wrapped up the nomination and was able to win. So I was like, and then because of that, partially, he won North Carolina. Now, I also part of that, I think one of the reasons that he won North Carolina is because you had Libby Dole, I think, was running for reelection, and she had residency issues and or just she wasn't very popular in the state. So the Democratic candidate run for Senate as well from North Carolina. And so I don't know who rode whose coattails in North Carolina. I don't know if it was the senator at the time who rode Obama's coattails to victory, or if Obama in that state rode her. Maybe there was a little joint coattail riding. Maybe some of column A, maybe Obama helped her in some parts of the state. Maybe she helped Obama in other parts of the state. But it's probably clear that him running a good ground game in North Carolina during the primaries helped in sealing the deal in general election. So it's one of the times that I can point out in the past when I was like, hey, I was wrong when I was making something, a political commentary. I was wrong. I apologize to President Obama. He and his team knew exactly what they were doing, and they did it very well. So maybe President Biden and his team knows what they're doing when it comes to student loans, but maybe they'll forgive me, or maybe people will forgive me for being a little concerned over the fact that this is one of the biggest accomplishments of his presidency, at least in my mind. I'm biased because I have student loans, and it really affects me in a very positive way. And I think people should be shouting it from the rooftops about the save plan, how the save plan is saving people money, how the one-time adjustment is making sure that hasn't hit me yet, but the one-time adjustment is helping people, you know, get off out of their student loans earlier because of the bad actions of the student loan processors, student loan servicers. So all of those things that the student loan that Biden has done on student loans are great, on top of what he tried to do, and the Supreme Court stopped it. So, hey, Kimchi, I just saw you that you entered the chat. I saw a picture of, I was in Costco, and I saw some kimchi for sale, and I wanted to take a picture and post it to the YouTube channel and be like, hey, Kimchi, is this you? But I was like, I don't know. It might have been a little weird. I don't know. So, Chihuahuas are evil. Little dogs, if I'm not fond of little dogs, I got bit by one once. I may not, that I'm sure would change your view on little dogs. But of course, a cowboy's favorite dog is, of course, a Dalmatian, because their song, Yippee-Yi, Ki-Yay, Get Along, Little Doggy. So, Eazy-E, sorry, F the nominees to SCOTUS and Alito and Thomas. Yes, absolutely. F the nominees to the Supreme Court and Alito and Thomas, because, yes, Trump's nominees are terrible. I didn't buy the kimchi. Buy it. I just saw it for sale. I didn't buy it. I haven't eaten you yet. Yet. Sorry. Yeah, it looks like we got Khalil on the phone. I'll get to Khalil in a second. Hold on. I thought the little doggies were the cows. Yeah, but that's not the joke. The joke is that they wanted a Dalmatian because they got said get a long little doggy. Dalmatians are long little doggies. Actually, Big Hook, one of the problems with little dogs, honestly, is the reason that they think that they're bigger than they are is because their owners tend to walk around and hold them like this. Like they hold them up high by like a chest level and they'll walk around holding them all the time. So the dogs will think that they're that big all the time and then they'll act like that they're that big. If you let the dog stay on the ground, like a dog's where the dog is supposed to be, the dog may very well be better behaved because the dog is going to understand its place and its size and understand when it's not supposed to, you know, try and stand up to the things that it thinks it can stand up to. So let's see. If I were Joe, I'd be pissed off. I'd be pissed too, giving up his retirement to clean up all this Republican mess. Yeah. All right. Let's go to Khalil first, and we'll get back to the other topics. What's going on, Khalil? How was your weekend?
It's going okay. Yeah. I'm hoping that I can take a trip one day in March, at the end of March. Go to a race car game, either in Danville, Virginia, or Richmond, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have a thing called Rally.
Go to a which game?
No, go to a race car game, or a Danville or Richmond, because they have a thing called Rally Bus. It's a rideshare thing with bus companies.
Uh huh.
And it's usually very cheap. Whether it's one way or round trip, it's usually very cheap.
Hmm.
And I haven't taken a trip in a long time, so I'm hoping I can do that.
Oh, so everybody deserves a break sometime. Everybody deserves to have some time off. So just don't get the flu like I managed to do on my last vacation. So
I won't. Also, you know those car, those police cars that have the spotlights?
Yeah.
The ones that have the spotlights, are they usually like the ones that have the spotlights, are they usually like on the windshield, or are they usually I'm just curious, like turns near where near the air? You know what I'm saying, like turn away from the windshield when they're not using it?
I think it's usually like by like the rearview mirror or something.
All right, so it's usually like by the mirror that you look, the outside mirror.
Yeah.
Okay. But
I think so. Usually, it's like the supposedly unmarked cars, like the unmarked cop cars that are all obviously cop cars, even though they're not marked. It's like, oh, there's a cop car. You can tell it's a cop car, even though it's not marked as a cop car, because you know what it is. It's clearly a cop car.
Because there was, I believe, I was at near Charlottesville Police, and I was having some anxiety. But this time it wasn't like the same type of police officer. It was different types of police officers. Officers with the same force that Perkins were with, except they were very nice. They were willing to help me.
Hmm.
All of them were. And one of them, two of them actually were dressed up in suits. One of them... got out of a black car, and I believe, basically, I believe that it was a little mark indication on it, like barcode on the front windshield.
Mhm.
And they had a trench coat on.
Mhm.
And they were coming from the downtown area.
Hmm.
And that was the only time I saw that person, but they were coming either from the downtown area or coming from the street. And I found out that in Charlottesville, they don't allow anybody to get involved with stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a liability. So it was probably a police officer that helped me. The other one in the suit, in the trench coat.
Huh. Well, I mean, that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to protect and serve. And so it sounds like that person is actually taking his job seriously, right?
Yeah, it was actually she, and it didn't hit me until later that was a police officer.
Huh. Police officer, some sort of law enforcement, at least.
Yeah, so it was probably federal, because I remember when they were getting out of a car with a barcode on the front windshield.
Mm.
So it was probably federal police officer.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm glad they gave you the help. Glad they helped you.
Yeah, I'm glad, too. So. Yeah, because I found out that federal police officers, they usually have the barcodes on the front of their windshield more than local do. You know why?
I have no idea. Do you know why?
Because it's unmarked, and it helps both the public and the officers out.
Huh. Very cool.
Yep. But, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that I get to go on a trip and do all different things.
Well, I hope you get to do that, too. You deserve it. You deserve to have a good time. So.
Thank you.
Anyway, anything else before we move on?
Also, one of the things I've done is people who double speak, it hasn't been addressed, but people... A lot of people who don't want gun control will try to play both sides of the fence. I don't know if you noticed that. They'll say the person's being used, but then they'll deny what – they'll act all callous about stuff like that.
Right.
And I've called each person out there that's done that. It's like, if you don't care, don't sit there and act like you care.
Right.
That's a pet peeve of mine, when people pretend to care and they double speak.
Well, yeah. So, every time you have a shooting, you have the conservatives that'll be like, well, we need to send our thoughts and prayers, but then they'll be like, now's not the time to talk about gun control. All right, well, when's the time? Because you never want to talk about it. So now we're reminded that we have another circumstance. So when's the time? When are you going to talk about it? Put it on the calendar.
Right.
When is the good time to talk about gun control? If you're not going to talk about it now, let's set a date where we talk about gun control.
Yeah,
because they never
want to
talk about it, because they don't want it, because they're beholden to the NRA, and they're beholden to, you know, they're afraid that, you know, they have this fantasy that one day that a good guy with a gun's going to stop the bad guy with a gun. And we saw that in Uvalde, all of the guys with guns didn't stop the bad guy with the gun. They were all afraid of the bad guy with the gun. We saw after the Kansas City Chiefs parade that it was people with no guns who stopped the guy with the gun. They just tackled him. And, you know, there are some circumstances where sometimes people with guns do stop the bad guys with the guns, but there are probably many, there's probably, if you have, well, we're going to see it in Louisiana probably very well soon, that you're going to see circumstances where there's going to be black people who are concealed carrying who are going to get shot by the cops because, and they're going to be like, well, he was constitutionally carrying. What was your problem? Well, the problem was because he was a black person. And I had to explain it. Like, I forgot about this. I put this out of my head, but this is reminding me of that. Because earlier I was talking about how I went to the Irish-Italian parade, and they hand all sorts of things off floats. So they hand toys off floats. Somebody was blowing balloons up and, like, making balloon animals off of floats. So this one girl handed Henry one of the Blue Lives Matter flags. And he comes back, and I'm like, he was like, why is there a blue stripe on that? And I'm like, you don't want that. And he was like, why not? And so I had to give him the entire, I was like, do you remember, I was telling him, I was like, do you remember when we saw on the news how the police officer killed that black guy by, like, kneeling on the neck or whatever? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, and there's other circumstances where that happened. And so I explained to him the start of the Black Lives Matter movement and why, what that means. And then I had to explain to him that other people started the whole Blue Lives Matter movement and how there's no such thing as a blue life because you choose to be a cop. You don't choose to be black. You're born black. You're not born a cop.
Right.
And so I had to explain that whole thing to him. And I kind of noticed out of the corner of my eye, there was a black family, you know, kind of standing right next to us. And I wasn't being overly loud, but I think she could hear me. And I could kind of see her, like, nodding a little bit, like, yeah, good. This dad is teaching his boys a good lesson because my other boy was there too. So I was just explaining to them both, you know, why the whole Blue Lives Matter movement is bullshit. Not that I want to, you know, not that I'm against cops per se. Like, I know good cops, but the whole Blue Lives Matter movement is absolute utter rubbish because it's just meant to silence the Black Lives Matter movement. And so I had to explain that to my child while we're out at a fun day at a parade because some idiots were having their children hanging out Blue Lives Matter flags. So
yeah, and the thing is, like with the gun thing, I was really angry with the NRA because they accused the chief in Dallas or somewhere in Texas of exploiting his officers, and the chief was really upset. Not only the fact that they do the same thing, but the fact that they accused him of not caring. It's like when you say someone is exploiting something, it's just like accusing someone. It's just like you doing something wrong to someone. And then it's the same thing when you accuse someone of doing something wrong to someone. It's the same thing. It's like you're accusing someone of not caring. And the only people that can do that are the people that mean well, people that are not going to do it themselves, and the people that say about someone that actually doesn't care. Like if the chief was saying no gun for anybody, that would have been a different story. But and even then, the NRA has no business accusing him of that because when Fast and Furious happened, they did the same thing. You know, it's like, and they did the same thing with the smart guns. They didn't want guns that were safer. So it's
right.
Like, they kind of owe that police chief an apology, not only because of them being hypocritical, but because they accused him of not caring. It's like, you don't get to do that all the time. You don't get to double speak and accuse someone of something that you're doing because it makes you look like an asshole too. And that's what I said.
You're right. You're spot on. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, Khalil. Well, thank you very much for calling in. Appreciate you. I'll leave you on hold if you want. And, we'll talk to you another day. You have a good one, all right?
All right. You too. Leave me on hold.
Will do. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Friend of the show, Khalil, everybody. Let's see. Stephen Sayers, all hosers Canadian. Absolutely not. Donald Trump is a hoser. I'm not a Canadian, but I will flat out say 100% confidently Donald Trump is a hoser. So let's see. So Tim's Canadian. I was going to bring up that I've been to Hamilton, Ontario, and I think somebody else brought up Hamilton, Ontario as well. Let's see. Let's scroll up. Hoser is a term used by the McKenzie brothers in comedy skits. It's supposed to be a Canadian origin, but I can't vouch. Tim Farrell, we all have a stake in who the leader of the free world is. Yeah, true. let's see. My favorite scene of Strange Brew is when they lose brakes going downhill and Doug says, well, no point in steering now. Nice. I know that piece of road, West 5th Access in Hamilton, Ontario. There you go. Let's see. Problem with Blue Lives Matter is that this exploited patriotism literally lead to the flag being desecrated. That's also true. Eazy-E, the NRA used to be good for gun owners. Now it's a money laundering pit for Russia. Well, NRA, you know, for a while now, I mean, even for gun owners, it wasn't good for gun owners because the NRA did nothing when Ronald Reagan tried to ban the Black Panthers from having guns in California way back in the day. So, you know, the NRA has only ever really been good for gun manufacturers. That's all they really care about is the manufacturing of guns, not the owning of guns. They couldn't care less about own. As long as the gun manufacturers can sell guns, that's their priority. See, have you seen the new attachment for weapons to make them an automatic weapon? You can create them with the printer. Is it like a basically a bump stock where you can 3D print a bump stock or something, or is it something else, Pam? Kelly, you live in Hamilton. That's cool. My friend in Hamilton that I used to know that I went and visited one time. Her name was Mandy. It'd be funny if we both know Mandy. I was on the phone with Mandy one time, went back when I was in college, way back in the day. And she goes, I said something to her, and she said something, and I was like, "You're the shit." And she was like, "What did you call me?" And I was like, I said, "You're the shit." She was like, "Is that supposed to be a good thing?" I was like, "Yeah, it's absolutely a good thing. It means you're awesome. Is that not something you say in Canada?" And apparently, at least at the time in Hamilton, that is not something that she had heard, was that calling somebody the shit was not necessarily a good thing. Now calling somebody the shit and a shit are two different things. But she was absolutely shocked that when I initially called her the shit, because she was, and I was quite amused at the culture differences between our two countries at that point. Jeff Curry, you know how the toothbrush was invented in Missouri because anywhere else would be called a toothbrush. That's just such a regional joke. In Maryland, that joke is, it was created in West Virginia. In Louisiana, the toothbrush was created in southern Louisiana, the toothbrush was created in Alabama. In northern Louisiana, the toothbrush was created in Arkansas. So it's just a regional, pick on this area thing. I was in Hamilton to visit my friend Mandy. That's why I was in Hamilton. And other reasons. It was a visit. Let's just say it that way. We were kind of sort of dating. Let's see. The problem with Blue Lives Matter is that no one ever claimed they didn't. No one is executing cops for selling single cigarettes, and if they were spitting the rest of our lives. It's not really a problem with Blue Lives. It's not that they say that they didn't. It's just that they acted like they did it. Or we as a country act like Blue Lives. Okay, I read it wrong. Blue Lives Matter. No, whatever. Yes. Yes. Okay. Hold on a second. Can you hold it down a little bit, please? Sorry about that. Yeah, Blue Lives Matter. Yes. No one ever said they didn't matter. Yes, you're correct. I read it wrong. I was reading it as Black Lives Matter. You know, crazy. You know what keeps Louisiana from falling into the Gulf? Arkansas sucks. I'd not heard that. That's funny. In some countries, alcohol is called piss, especially Australia. But saying you are pissed means you're a drunk there, I guess. Exactly. Well, Foster's is Australian for piss. Aaron West, Mandy makes me think of Barry Manilow. But here's the thing. Barry Manilow was thinking about the dog. So I did not go up to visit a dog. That's for sure. Kelly, interesting. Not everybody knows Hamilton. I know. And every time I mention that I know Hamilton, everyone gets, you know, amused that I get amused at the reaction that I get. It's like, oh, I've been to Hamilton. Wait, you know Hamilton? What? That's crazy. Now, I thought I was going to die leaving Hamilton. First of all, the airplane that I got on to leave Hamilton from that little itty-bitty Hamilton airport, it looked like it was held together with masking tape. Like, literally, it looked like there was masking tape on the wing. And it looked like to launch it, they were just going to wind up a rubber band and aim it and go, pew! And then I don't know if I had bad Wendy's. I don't know if the Wendy's that I ate was bad or if it was just the turbulence. But I had to make use of one of their bags because there was a lot of turbulence going on, and it's the only time I've ever had to do that on a plane. But the first bag that I grabbed was somebody else had used it to put away their chewing gum. So I'm like, and then I had to grab the other one real quick and be like, so yeah. The end of the trip wasn't fun. Trucker John, Mandy is Barry Manilow's best song, that probably the only one I could stomach. And the funny thing is that Barry Manilow's song, I write the songs, he didn't write that song. That's the thing I get the big kick out of. Now, one of the better songs of Barry Manilow is the Copacabana, simply because if you don't have Copacabana, you don't have the Weird Al parody for the Star Wars Cantina. Music and laughter, that old Jedi master at the Star Wars. Anyway. Mandy is not about a dog. That's an urban myth. Oh, damn it. You went and ruined my life, John. Just kidding. Kansas City, Missouri. Yeah, like when Donald Trump tweeted out, congratulations to Kansas for winning the Super Bowl, and everyone's like, Kansas City that won the Super Bowl is in Missouri, dipshit. So, did anybody buy Mary Manilow, Mary Barry Manilow and Air Supply have orange 8-track tapes? My dad had a few 8-track tapes in one of his cars, in the first car that I remember him owning, because I remember seeing the 8-track tapes and like, what the heck is this? Probably like the first time, like, my kids would probably see a tape and be like, what the heck? I think maybe the kids saw a VCR tape one time and were confused because they never maybe used one or seen one before. Although, like, I asked the kids when we were on a car trip one time, and my van that I drive still has a CD player in it. And so I said, what is this thing called? I put in a CD to play it, to play some music or whatever. Yeah, what would you call this? And they said, an audio DVD. And I was like, I mean, I guess it's smart, but, you know, because they're used to DVDs, but they're not, they hadn't heard of a CD, so they, but yeah, no, it's a compact disc. But then the only reason I was asking him that, it was because I wanted to be like, because they always like to play the game of this game with words or whatever. And I was like, no, it's called a CD. And they're like, oh, and I'm like, CD's nuts. And then they were upset that I got them with the joke because, you know, they're always trying to get people with that sort of thing. So, anyway, maybe I'm a bad influence on my kids. I don't know, but it's fun. Wes, white men adopting dialects is a little weird. What do you mean, Wes? Don't ask them. We have one of those, too. Jeff, I got my son a record player for Christmas 10 years ago. He really wanted one. Then he started it and said, how does it work? Hilarious. That is funny. Anywho, show reset real quick. Liberal Dan Radio, talk from the left. That's right. Mondays and Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Central here on YouTube, liberaldanradio.com or twitch.tv/liberaldanradio. You listen to blogtalkradio.com as well, blogtalkradio.com/liberaldan. But, you know, I mostly just use that as a soundboard. And some of the stuff that we play, some of the stuff that we do, is not available on, you know, when I start doing like the coming to terms with, or when I start doing reaction videos, the audio from those videos does not get shunted into the Blog Talk Radio feed. So if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, you don't get to hear that. So again, if anybody happens to be listening on Blog Talk Radio, I would just urge you to come on over to the liberaldanradio.com side so you can, you know, join in on the chat over there and also hear anything, if, because I may be doing maybe one or two reaction videos today, because I didn't do a lot of show prep today. I've been very exhausted. It's not, and I think I've figured out why. I think it's because, despite the fact that, you know, I'm over the flu for the most part, I still occasionally, when I'm lying down, I still have the cough, and so it'll wake myself up, so I don't get as much sleep as I should, and so that just keeps me just knocked out, and it just doesn't have me actually doing what I need to do for all the prep. So I mean, I still can talk about random political bullshit and other stuff, and I enjoy interacting with the chat as well, which is always good. So, which is always fun to do. It's always fun to go off topic and chat with the chat room a bunch, because that's part of the fun of the show, is the interaction with the chat. Anyway, so all this talk about Martha, we have to do the Batman versus Superman. Why did you say her name? Which is actually the first time I ever realized that both Batman and Superman's moms were both named Martha, which is like, wow, they really are not very creative with some of the things they do in comic books, are they? Like, you know, all of the characters have the same first and last initial sometimes, like, or a lot of the times, like Clark Kent, Lana Lang, Lois Lane, you know, there are some that don't, clearly, like Bruce Wayne or Barry Allen, but, you know, a lot of people do have, a lot of the people will have Peter Parker, J. Jonah Jameson. A lot of people just shared like the same initials, you know, for their first and last names, which is really weird. Like too many to be a coincidence or something. I don't know. So, yeah. Steven Sayers, like trying to get the grandkids to understand life before remotes. Yeah, I vaguely remember life before remotes and having to go up and actually change the channel. And I remember in one apartment that I would be at from time to time, I would get up and change the channel like I would just sit closer to the TV so I wouldn't have to get up, and I would just change the channel that way and just turn the dial so I wouldn't, and, you know, I'll just be up against the TV close because I didn't want to have to get off the couch. Lazy from day one, I guess. Yeah, Peter Porker. Yeah, Spider Pig. Worst thing about an A-track was the sound of the track change, massive click-click in the middle of the Inagata de Vida drum solo. Nice. Try being called Tim anytime a kid falls down the well. It's always Timmy. Yep, Timmy fell down the well. What's up, Robin M? Good to see you. Yes, I also remember the corded remotes. Our cable remote used to be a corded remote. It just had a big dial. Although, Tim, when you said you lived in Canada, I was like, oh, Tim Hortons. So we were talking about weird names the other day. Yesterday, I think it was, at the gaming store that I was hanging out at. I forget what her last name was. I think her last name was Holder. And it was just like there's all sorts of jokes that could be named there. And I was like, when I was in Boy Scouts, this one kid, his last name was Baton, and I would make fun of him. I would like talk like a butler. It's like, oh, it's Master Baton, and like everyone would laugh. And or someone else when they heard me say his name was Baton, their first thought went to if you changed him out with another kid, it would be a bait and switch. That sort of thing. And I was like, just the name. And I used to work at a hospital, and just the names that I would see in the hospital, like, you know, why would you name your child Harold if your last name is Dick? You know, because then your child's name is Harry Dick, and that's just, you know, you're bound to get made fun of at that point. Like, why would you do that to your kid? There was a guy on a forum one time that I used to play a game on, and used to play a game, that game had a forum, and his name was Richard Glover, but he would never go by Dick, because then his name would be Dick Glover, and well, that just sounds like it sounds. And yeah, so sometimes I think parents should just take a little extra care in how they name their kids to make sure that they can't be made fun of. Hell, even my mother. My mother did that, and it wasn't even necessary. Like, my mother was going to name, because Bob Dylan's name is Robert Zimmerman, and she wanted to name me after Bob Dylan, so she wanted to name me Dylan Zimmerman, but she was afraid that people would call me Pickles because of Dill Pickles or something like that, and she was afraid that people would make fun of that, so that's why she went with Dan. Or Daniel. So I was like, I'm sure that wouldn't have happened. I think you were overly whatever, but I could have been named Dylan. It probably would have been very pop, you know, but who would have known 90210 came out, and Dylan would have been a very popular name at the time, but it probably would have been cool for me to be named Dylan. But now I never would know. Maybe there's some alternate universe in the multiverse of Liberal Dan multiverse where I'm actually Liberal Dylan. And doesn't flow as well, I don't think. Liberal Dylan. I'd have to make, like, my podcast would have to be, like, Chilling with Dylan or something like that. So, yeah, Ken QB, Dick Trickle, the race car driver. Why? Brendo Triplett, we had a Dr. Richard Head at the hospital. That's just... crazy. Go to a Masonic lodge named after Harry Johnson. I had a female doctor with the last name of Noblo. Really? It's called, I wouldn't pronounce that. In baseball, it was Chuck Knobloch. Chuck with that last name, Knobloch, was Chuck Knobloch. And it was really pronounced No Blow. That's really weird. I'm sure she didn't have a very good dating life. We had to write down names not to call our kid, like Don Key or Hanky. That's smart, Kim T. That's a smart thing to do, going through all the names that you don't want to name your kids. Like, even, like, you know, you want to call your kids Donald, like Donald Key, because then that would be Don Key. So there you go. The Liberal Pickles Show, talk from the left, that's a little sour. Maybe they're sweet pickles, you never know. It could be the bread and butter of liberal talk. Ba-dum-bum, ching. Anyway, she's a very good prosthodontist. She did my implants. Nice. I met Dick Trickle and Harry Gand. Nice. But yeah, there was actually another person who named their child. The family wanted to name their kid. The father wanted a boy and wanted to name the boy James Jr. because his name was James. So he wanted a James Jr. But they ended up getting a girl. So they named her Samaj, which is James backwards, which I guess is kind of clever. And then one day in the hospital, I heard somebody shouting for Samaj, so I guess they had another kid. So what other funny names that I come across in the hospital besides Harry Dick? Harry Dick is a definitely interesting name to come across in a hospital. Boom. Who would want to name their kid Donald anymore? Not me. Yeah, Donald Trump. Well, I'm sure there is about a good third of the country that would be more than happy to name their kid Donald. I would love to name my kid Donald. They would just name it Donald Trump. Oh, there's always the somebody who is named L. They tried to call. They looked at the name on the attendance, and it was like they said because it was an L and then a hyphen and then A. And the person was like, no, my name is LaDasha. The dash isn't silent. Like, what? So you pronounce a dash. You pronounced the dash. LaDasha. You know. I also went to school with Elizabeth Taylor and Julie. I mean, that's not bad. It's not like a, I mean, sure. I mean, people might look at you funny and be like, you know, oh, you named Elizabeth Taylor, really. But, like, that's not as bad as Dick Trickle or Harry Dick. Like, come on, bend over. Yes, easy, bend over. Benjamin Dover, bend over. Our middle son's name is Atrio Free. I may have done too many shrooms back in the day. I mean, it's possible. Shout out to TV2 Live. Thank you for joining. Go make sure to check out their channel as well. Good channel. Friend of the show. All right, let me go ahead and mute this for a second. Not mute my audio, but mute the desktop audio. So I can go ahead and pull up. I don't even paste that in there. Weird. Oh, well, too late. We can pull up because we can do a coming to terms with not coming to terms with whatever. I need to do a new coming to terms, but I have some shorts to respond to make some quick response videos for the Unraveling Toxic Masculinity. So we're gonna set that up, and we're gonna do a couple of these because these are stupid. Let's see. Boo, 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 boo. Let's delete that. We don't need that anymore. Why did this go off that way? That's weird. Okay, here we go. Yeah, this one is great. I found this one, and this one is like perfect to a T because it absolutely 100% totally, there we go. I have to restart it from the beginning because, you know, let me move myself over here in the middle so I can make a better short video with it. And then let's see, put my Venmo to the side. Put my Buy Me a Coffee on top, I guess. I guess we'll put it there. I don't know. We'll see. That looks good. So I can hear you. I can't hear you, but I can see you. You're still on that side of the screen. Like, you're there. I have three screens. So I can multitask. I'm talented like that. So let's go ahead. Let's actually make sure that we have enough room for all this crap first, because that was a problem in the last show. I tried to record something and I had too little room. I think we're good. I have 54.8 gigabytes free, so that's good. Although my D drive is like empty. I don't know what the deal is with that. I'll have to figure that out, how to use more of that maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, we're good there. Yeah, this is the guest of the whatever. Let's see, that's what they do, Eazy-E. What they do is they invite all of these women to come on and get their opinions so they can mock their opinions. So let's see, can we make this making that bigger to send it over there. That's weird. Okay. So we're going to start recording, and then we'll do a refresh. All right, so here's another a short for the Unraveling Toxic Masculinity, and here's one of the first videos that we're going to cover today. Let's refresh it, and here we go. And that's exactly what I've said in almost every one of these videos that I talk about. My comment has always been, men need to stop being such sluts, because that would eliminate the problem. The men are creating the problem that they're complaining about. Stop being sluts and you won't have this problem that you're complaining about. All of the different problems that you're complaining about on this channel, on the Fresh and Fit channel, on all these channels that we talk about in the Unraveling Toxic Masculinity, it all comes down to men trying to throw themselves at all these women, and then either it ends up you end up with women having, you know the woman says yes and whatever, then you judge the woman, or the woman says no and you get upset at the woman. Well, stop being such sluts, and stop. They also complain about the fact that women control hookup culture. Well, again, if women wouldn't control hookup culture, if men weren't the ones constantly supplying it, if they weren't just throwing themselves at women all the damn time, throwing spaghetti up against the wall, if you will, if they would just kind of be like chill and lay back and relax and, you know, maybe let the women come to them every once in a while, maybe they would be the ones that control it. But no, men are constantly out there just constantly barraging women with overtures. So that's why women control it, because the men's are the ones constantly offering it. So men, if you don't want women in control of hookup culture, stop being sluts and throwing yourselves at everybody. No, I would not. I don't know where he's getting his data, but I'm sure there are plenty of people who are trying to hook up and who are getting no's. And there are other people who are trying to hook up and getting yeses. That's not this. I don't know where he's getting his data that there's only a few percent of men that are actually causing hookup culture and are causing all of these high body count numbers or whatever that they're complaining about. You know, it's more than what he's it's more than that. I'm going to disbelieve his numbers unless he proves otherwise that it's only a small percentage of men participating in it. No, that's not what's happening at all, because they're just contradicting themselves now, because in other videos they've said that it's women that control hookup culture. They control sex. They control access to sex. And now you're saying that the women are chasing the men? No. Yeah, there may be women who chase certain men because these certain men might be, you know, people who they may want to hook up with. But that doesn't mean that's the entirety of hookup culture. The vast majority of it is the dudes chasing the women and the women saying no. Because, again, they're creating an artificially high supply of available penis, just to be blunt about it. And so the women have their choice of what they want to say yes or no to. So why are they going to pick something that they look at as would be substandard if there's such a high supply? It's low value. If something is high supply, it means that there's the demand for it is not as great as the supply is, then the value of that item is low. So therefore, all of this supplied men have low value. So you're all low value men. Congratulations. You played yourself. Yeah. The top 20% are sleeping with all the women. I'm sure they're not. I'm sure they're not sleeping with all the women. Maybe they're sleeping with women that they're probably not sleeping with, you know, a good chunk of the women that y'all have cast aside as being, you know, people that you would never want to be with, but still, I'm sure the people that are your watchers would still want to try and sleep with, but again, you're all trying to hook up with them anyway, because y'all view women as nothing but receptacles for your lust, to not be as blunt as I could be, and because you've made this high supply, they're going to say no, but then you're going to complain that they're saying no, and then you're going to complain that they're the arbiters of who has sex, because you are creating the problem that you're complaining about. So that was it. That's that video. Let's see if we can get to number two of the second one that I found, that the shorts. Oh, wait, hold on. There we go. I'll probably edit that little part out. Oh, there's the hat. There's the woman in the weird hat. I wonder if the sex doll's in the video, too. Oh, now we're to the body count. This is a good segue into that, the whole body count thing. Okay, so just because somebody who has had sex with 100 guys, why do you think that they've only had sex with those 100 guys one time each? That's a bizarre idea. Not everybody is just having 100 one-night stands. I mean, if you are if you go on a couple of dates, it could be a couple of times each. You never know. I mean, I've not had 100 people. I can tell you that for a fact, but I mean, I don't give a crap about body counts either. So, but the idea that somehow one person with, like, these guys have this idea that that the woman is going to somehow be different internally if they've slept with 100 different guys, you know, 10 times apiece, or one guy 1,000 times. It's the same amount of times having sex. It's just, it doesn't matter. Like, to them, the fact that it's a different one matters. Like, why? It doesn't matter. It's bizarre. Let's continue. How do you know that the relationship is going to be better? You don't have no idea that the relationship is going to be better just because. Maybe the person, you know, who had the one relationship with, and a thousand times with the one person, was in a bad relationship and now wants to get out and now wants to, and now regrets only being with one person and now wants to get out there and do her thing. And maybe the person who is now, who's been with more people now is, wants to just settle down and, you know, be happier. Maybe shockingly enough, there are people with other alternative type of situations, like people in ethically non-monogamous relationships who are perfectly okay with that too. But of course, these people aren't going to deal with that type of relationship because that's not what these type of people deal with. These people only want a young, like 18 to 25 year old woman who is sexually inexperienced. And the only reason that these type of men want women who are sexually inexperienced is because they don't want to have that person have anybody else to compare them to so that they can't be seen as being inadequate in bed. Because if that person has 100 sex partners or 50 or even 20 or even 10, that person is more, is now going to have to compete with, you know, those other people at certain levels of skill, and that he's, and they're afraid that they're not going to be able to compete with the level of skill. And they think that women are so shallow that they don't trust that their partners are going to not be shallow and look at their relationship and be like, well, since the sex was better with this other dude, I'm going to go be with this other dude, even though I'm in the relationship with him, or I'm going to look for sex somewhere else because sex with my dude is not as good as it was with those other guys. Whereas, you know, a person who is, you know, feeling like they have, you know, a good relationship and a trusting relationship would trust that their partner wouldn't violate the terms of their relationship, regardless of how good other people might have been in the past when it comes to sexual skill, because they understand that a relationship is more than just that. And they'll understand that if the person is going to be with them, that this person in a relationship, in a committed relationship, that you, the guy, is going to be checking all the boxes that they need and not just that one box that other people might have filled, pun intended, in the past. But they don't understand that because to them, everything is transactional. Yeah. You can have great sex with, you can have what you think is great sex with her, but you want to be able to have her not know whether or not that you're giving her great sex. You want her to believe, because you want her to have a low or zero body count, that you're giving her the most amazing thing in the world. And if they have 10, 15 other people, they're going to be like, psh, this is trash. And you're not satisfying me, and this is not somebody that I want to spend a lifetime with, because you're only going to spend 2 minutes in the bedroom only pleasing yourself. And honestly, if you're that type of person in the bedroom, that's probably the type of person you are in every way else either, in every other facet of your life. If you're only going to worry about yourself in the bedroom and not worry about the pleasure of your partner, you're probably not worrying about the pleasure of your partner any place else either, and therefore that's very telling of the type of person you are in a relationship, and that's why they don't want to be with you. Mic drop. Third short video. Just make this one another short one as well, and we'll make this a short video to upload. Dun, dun, dun. Now we're on abortion. There you go. I mean, that's pretty much all you have to say, because biology dictates that if the person who's carrying the pregnancy, the person who's carrying the pregnancy has more risk, therefore they should have more say or a longer say. It does matter. It doesn't matter that it's his. First of all, if the person who's going to get an abortion, you know, there's the person who thinks that it's his semen, how do you know? Maybe it's somebody else's. You know, there's how do you prove that without doing an intrusive procedure? And if somebody was pregnant who lived in a state that needed to have the okay of the person who impregnated the person, you know, and if I lived in such a state, I would be like, you know, sure, I'm the dad. Go right ahead, have the abortion. I'd volunteer myself every day. Yeah, I had sex with her. I have no problem with her having an abortion. It turns out it wasn't mine. So anyway, oh, well, I really legitimately thought it was mine because we had wonderful sex. It was great and wonderful. Sorry, Cassie. Sorry, I slept with this woman. And Cassie would know that, you know, I didn't sleep with the person. I was just saying that to make sure that the person could go ahead and have body autonomy. But, yeah, no. There's no way for the guy dude to know. I mean, I guess there is some invasive test that you can have at some point in the pregnancy, but it's absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous argument to make that it's the same thing, because it's not the same thing, because the dudes, the person who provides the semen does not take on the same risk. He just releases the semen and there you go. That's it. The person who's pregnant has to deal with 9 months of body changes, of hormone changes, of potentially lifelong changes. And you're seeing what's going on in these states where, you know, you have these cases where people who want to have kids are facing situations where they're facing, you know, lifelong debilitating inability to get pregnant because they can't get an abortion because the miscarriage didn't fully go through. But the hospitals won't treat them because the laws are so stupidly written. No sperm donor should be able to get in the way of stopping anybody from being able to handle that situation. Or no sperm donor should be able to force the person to have to take on that risk to begin with. There should be no reason why anybody should be able to interfere with that. Again, the person who is pregnant takes on more risk, so therefore that individual should have more say as to what happens to their body. Period. And that's the huge difference. If men could get pregnant, there'd be an abortion clinic on every corner. But we can't. Or a cis men, I guess is to say, could get pregnant. There would be an abortion clinic on every corner, but we can't, so there's not. But the ultimate, this argument that they're making right now to whether or not a guy should be able to stop an abortion, it never stops there. Because that's not their point. The ultimate point in these conversations is not, I should be able to stop you from having an abortion. These types of conversations always get back to, almost 100% of the time, it goes back to, well, if I can't stop you from getting an abortion, then I should be able to get out of paying child support. That's every single time I've had a debate with anybody about this type of conversation. That's what it comes down to. It's about them getting be able to get out of their financial responsibilities because they feel that they should be able to have the ability to go out and screw whoever they want and impregnate the world and not have to have any responsibility for their actions, for their kids that they helped create. That's what that argument is all about. It's not about being pro-life or anti-abortion. It's about wanting to protect their wallets. Well, guess what? Just make sure you have better control of your semen from this point on. Make sure that you know, at least in states where abortion is still legal, make sure that you know whether or not the person that you're going to be sleeping with is somebody who agrees with you on the topic of abortion or the topic of child support, and understand that that might change because they have every right to change their mind on abortion and use a condom or get a vasectomy if you're that worried about it. Vasectomies are reversible. Go get a vasectomy and you won't have to worry about anybody unfairly charging you with child support. And that's it. So what do you think? Like and agree, disagree, comment down below. Like and subscribe to the channel. Have a good day. Anyway, just for anybody who's new to the channel, that's how when I record videos like that, that's how I end those videos, just to make it easier for me to be able to post them other places and not have to do any other additional excessive editing. So just to make sure, if you're new to the channel, that's always make sure. Let's see, DB Golding on Twitch. I don't care how attractive they are. What are they bringing to the table to share is more important to me. Might not be a good might be a very good reason the blokes did not come back around for a second round. Maybe. But, you know, in my situations where I've had, you know, back when I was in college, there were very few and far between times where I had one-night stands or whatever, where the reason for that it was a one-night stand was because I just wanted a one-night stand. It was other reasons, like a couple I can think of off the top of my head was one, there was somebody that I met who happened to be going back to leaving town after in a week. So, oh well. There was another one where the person got back with her boyfriend. Okay, so whatever. Because normally I'm the type of person where if I hooked up with somebody and if I liked that person, I would continue to keep seeing that person. I happen to, my second longest relationship started off as a first meeting hookup. Like, it happened, you know. Let's see, boom, boom, boom. Let's go back into the chat and see what the comments from the chat were. Easy, no, 75 to 80% of men are actually responsible, but I don't care about women being horrific, it's just men. When men are just as bad, same as women, 75% are responsible. Well, I don't know what responsible means, but yeah, I mean, the thing with those videos that they have is that they talk as if they're talking for all men. But they're really only talking for the subset of men who actually listen to their show or watch their show or whatever. Like, they don't talk for all dudes. Like, they're trying to attract more guys. I'm in one group. It was like on Facebook. It's like Ben Shapiro's School of another graduate of Ben Shapiro's School for Gynecology or something like that. It's a funny group. And it's often sharing things from posts or whatever. But this person shared a comment about how her husband just happened to bring up at morning coffee one day how he likes the MGTOW movement, the men going their own way movement, because so many women these days are just getting run through. And she was like, I don't have time for your BS today. And I responded to it. I was like, well, you know, they should come up with a new coffee. Just call the new coffee Grounds for Divorce. And she was like, I like that one. And then I told the individual, I was like, hey, I actually gave her a link to the coming to terms with masculinity. I mean, the Unraveling Toxic Masculinity. I was like, hey, can I give you a link to the video series? He might benefit from it. So hopefully she shows him the videos and hopefully he benefits from it, because holy crap. Sounds like that dude really needed it, because he's getting reeled in hook, line, and sinker by these types. That's one of the reasons I'm making these videos, is because I want people who might be at risk of, you know, being influenced by these types to understand how full of crap these people are. And sometimes these guys are like, wow, these guys are making a good point. No, they're not. They're making stupid point. And that's why I make these videos, to counteract it. Another reason I'm making the videos is because I want something for my own kids to see. If for some reason something were to happen to me and they need some wisdom from the grave or whatever, that they can know that dad has good advice to listen to. Watch dad's advice from beyond the grave, as dad shows you how not to be a shitty dude. Yeah, Jeff Curry, sex economics. Yep. Steven Sayers, looks like a lot of the younger generation, both sexes, just really like sex. And that's true, too. That is absolutely true, that there are just people who are there. People nowadays are more open-minded about sex and sexuality and you know, just being more understanding about, you know, who they are and what they like and what they enjoy, and they're more comfortable with coming out with all those things, and that's great, in my opinion. But and you know, we at some point are moving beyond this whole patriarchal idea that, you know, men are in charge of relationships and women have to be subservient, and these dude bros don't like that whatsoever. These guys hate that. They don't want that at all. They want women to be subservient. They want women they like the good old days where women could just, you know, be barefoot and pregnant and in the kitchen and available for their every sexual whim. Meanwhile, they can go hump around everybody else they want to hump around with. And, you know, but the women, how dare they even think of doing anything? Like the fresh and fit guys are much worse. And these guys are bad. Whatever podcast guys are bad. Trucker John, I got caught up in that body count thing when I was younger just because it became a competition with your buddies. There was a point, I mean, I'll say that I was obsessed with my number simply because of the fact that, you know, toxic masculinity made me feel like I was more of a man if I was able to get higher numbers of people. Not that I treated those people who I hooked up with badly, but it was something that just made me feel better as a person. Like, oh, I now have more value as an individual because I was able to sleep with another individual. Someone else found me desirable enough to sleep with, therefore, and that's how I defined my worth, which is again, something else that's just toxic masculinity. And there was another time, there was a point where in college where me and one of my fraternity brothers, we had the same number. And it was funny because, like, every time one of us would have a new partner, like, the next one would be guaranteed to have a new partner within, like, 2 weeks. And, like, there was one point where I walked up to him and I was, like, I think it was my 12th or something at the time or whatever. And I walked up to him and I was, like, 12. He was, like, how'd you know? And I was, like, what do you mean, how did I know? He was like, I just came home from having sex with somebody new. I was like, I just had sex with, we literally had sex with a new person in the same night. Different person, clearly. That wasn't always the case. But, yeah. So yeah, but it's because of the toxic ideas of men's value being determined by the amount of people that we could hook up with made me keep count. I don't keep count anymore. I stopped keeping count after a while because, you know, I learned that that's not how you value yourself. There are better and different ways to value yourself. And that's not how you gain value just by going out and getting laid. So, Wes, don't hate me, but why don't we legalize prostitution and tax it? Well, I mean, there's no reason to hate you. Prostitution should be legal, and it should be income that's taxed like any other income. So, It's a trucker job. I can tell you with the personal experience of my college days, girls on spring break can be, well, I don't know if I'd use the term loose and slutty as the guys, but I don't know if I'd use the term loose and slutty, but my point for calling guys sluts is to kind of use the term against them, is to basically put the blame, like the guys are blaming the women for being sluts, for having high numbers, but only sleeping with certain numbers of people. I'm like, you're the ones being sluts because you're the ones who are throwing yourselves at all these women and making them the arbiters of hookup culture, the arbiters of the yes and the no, whereas if you weren't the ones constantly throwing yourselves at them, they wouldn't be the arbiters. But I'm not necessarily saying that's a slut shame. They should have as much consensual sex as they want. Everybody should have as much consented to sex as they want to and as they feel like having. So... Eazy-E, I don't want a woman who have been with many pharaohs. What pharaohs? What? This is not Egypt. It's also funny that you call yourself Eazy and you don't want a woman with many people. Haha. But just because somebody has been with a lot of people in the past, it doesn't mean they're not going to be loyal now. That's a logical fallacy. Jeff woke up one morning in a strange bed next to a girl who didn't know. Friends played a joke and put us there together. We wound up dating for a bit. Well, hey, it's like, you know, the dating game. Eazy-E goes both ways. I'm a virgin despite my big talk. I cannot say I'm ashamed, but you shouldn't be embarrassed for that. I mean, it's, you know, again, your value is not determined by how many people you've had sex with. I had to learn that the hard way. You know, I had to learn that a long time ago. And, you know, it's a hard lesson to learn because we drill this idea into men that they are of more value the more they can bang women. The more they get out there and the more women they can bang, they're studs. They're cool guys. They're awesome. You know, if you can't score, then something must be wrong with you. And it's not the case, you know, but there's nothing wrong with anybody if you choose to remain a virgin, that's fine. If you haven't quite yet, you know, found the right person to be with, that's also fine. You know, and if you want to be with somebody who has similar levels of experience as you, that's also fine too. It's just don't shame the person don't shame anybody who just chooses to be with more people, because that doesn't mean they're not loyal. A lot of women might look at me and laugh or say if I say I'm a virgin. I mean, you don't want to be with anybody like that. I wouldn't want to be with anybody who looks at you and laughs. I wouldn't want to be friends with anybody who would laugh at anybody for being a virgin. It's not any sort of statements on your value or worth for whether or not, you know, I've said this before when it comes to women, like I have more respect for, you know, I would rather date somebody who is a virgin than date somebody who felt pressured, who just gave in to societal pressures just to make people happy. But I would also rather date somebody who did what they wanted to sexually, as opposed to somebody who remained a virgin simply because that was expected of her as well. Like I would want somebody who did something because it was their choice, not because they felt like they were obligated to do so for some ridiculous other reason. So I would want somebody who would be a free mind. Robin M, is that a blow-up doll behind her? Yes, that they do have a sex doll sometimes on the show. And why do all these chicks show skin and the toxic masculine men don't? Because they're toxic masculine men, and they want to bring on women. A lot of the women that they bring on are like sex workers with OnlyFans accounts or strippers or other folks who they know are going to disagree with them. And then the purpose for them being there is A, to have eye candy, B, so they can ridicule them for their ideas, and C, so their audience can pay $100 super chats to post terrible messages about them, about how horrible and slutty they are. So, Wes, I can count them, remember their names, and every one of them was totally willing. Well, that's good, Wes. Wait, Steven says, why would she wear that shirt if she doesn't want someone to... What are you talking about? What shirt? I don't know what you're talking about with that. What's up, Alton? How you doing? Good to see you. I'm just scrolling through the chat, trying to catch up. Jeff Curry, well, this took a real Dr. Ruth turn.
Yes, you must have good sex. Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
Trucker John, you never told me you knew my ex-wife, LOL. Kelly Anderson, I said men are more superficial. Yes, you're correct. It goes both ways. Hold on. It scrolled far on me. Darn it. There we go. Caught back up. Easy, I'm going to be a 40-year-old virgin. Well, how old are you now? 39? Put them books. I mean, again, if I don't know, you know, what it's not necessarily a bad thing to be a virgin, you know, but sometimes, I had to work on some things of mine. I found that when I figured out one time that, you know, it was more that I shouldn't be offended that when people rejected me, because it's not my fault that people aren't attracted to me, because people have the right to be attracted to whoever they are attracted to. And just as I have the right to be attracted to whoever I am attracted to, and I shouldn't be forced or I shouldn't be made guilty to not be attracted to somebody who I'm not attracted to. Now, how they tell you that is, of course, under their control. They shouldn't be mean or cruel about how they inform you that they're not attracted or not interested in you. But, you know, once I figured out that it's not my fault that people are not attracted to me, that there are people who are always going to be attracted to big guys. You know, there are people who like big men. There are people who don't like big men. And I've always been a big guy. And once I realized that, I became more confident in myself. And then I became a lot more successful in dating. So... Easy E, I think screwing around is dumb. You need to be picky to reduce risk. I mean, there are lots of ways to make sure that you, there are lots of ways to make sure that certain things are protected from you. Wear condoms. You know, you can do some, you can make sure that you're tested. You can make sure that they're tested. Yeah. I mean, if you meet somebody on a, you know, and hooking up at a bar, you're not necessarily going to have an STD test readily available, but, so there's that, but, you know, that being said, you know, I just think that sometimes people are too picky, and sometimes they let their own fears get in the way of people who they otherwise would be attracted to and interested in. So I'm not saying that you should have a one-night stand. You know, one-night stands are not for everybody. And again, I haven't had many one-night stands by choice. Most of the ones that I had became one-night stands because there just never was an opportunity for a second night. But oh, Jolie's back. Hey, Jolie. Kimchi, my mama said you got to kiss a lot of frogs to find your prince. I was lucky enough to kiss a bunch and find two amazing men. There you go. At the same time? whereas real people are mature enough to choose what's healthy for them. Yes. You can't make somebody watch with understanding. What's up, MC Jet? Good to see you. Kimchi, I'm an incel in the original iteration of the word, a widow for 4.5 years and not looking either. Well, if you're not looking, you're not an incel. If you're not looking, it's not involuntary. If you're not looking, you're voluntarily not looking. So there you go. Easy E Network, I need to lose weight and get out more to attract women, though. Dude, I'm telling you, when I was in college, like when I was in high school, I probably weighed about 190, and I was okay at dating. And then I was in college, and I got to about 270, and I was fine, and I had more success dating. Despite the fact that I got to 270, I was more. And then, like, I met my wife, I think I was 300, you know, I've always been a big guy. There are women who like big men. There are plenty of big men who date hot women. I'm one. My wife is hot and I married her. And just because you're big, it doesn't mean that you're not a good person, not a valuable person, now getting out more might be something you might need to do. Of course, I met my wife on the internet, so can't really say that getting out helped, but I did have to actually meet her in person eventually. Let's see. Brenda Triplett, I'm glad to have an escaped an abusive marriage. So I'm divorced since about 2014 and not looking. Very glad you escaped abuse. Although I know a lot of people who, after they have escaped their marriages in the similar situations, they ended up having a very fun post-divorce fling stage. So, but it's very happy. It's always good for people to get out of abusive relationships. See, Kimchi, I've never met Emergency Remedial Truth, but I absolutely adore him. His mind is sharp, he's peaceful and creative. If he lived closer, LOL. MC Jet, frat boys. Here's the thing. In my fraternity, I was the nerd. We were the nerdy fraternity. Like, we were the fraternity that had the highest grades on campus. We would win. Like, they had this competition every year called the Reese Cup, named after a guy named Reese. And it was like basically all the fraternities would compete against each other. And each fraternity had like their sport that they were good at. So every fraternity got their points for a particular sport, but no one dominated on sports. And we had no sport that we were dominant at because we were the nerds. But we went out there and did all the community service parts for the community service segment. And we also had the highest grades on campus. We had the highest GPA of all of the fraternities on campus. So we won the Reese Cup at least 3 years in a row because of that. So yeah, we were the nerds. We were much different than the other frats. Most of the frats were gross, and I wouldn't have joined any of the other frats. If there wasn't that particular frat on campus, I wouldn't have joined a frat. So Jeff Curry, in Missouri, I do not chase women. Here, women chase me. America, what a country. See, Brendan Triple, I have plenty of guys begging me for dates, but I call the shots in my life now and am not ready. Well, there you go. And that's the thing. You call the shots. Be a baller, shot caller. Let's see. Easy. Okay, legalize prostitution. If we make people get STI testing, I call men who sleep around whoremongers. Again, you shouldn't. That's the one thing I disagree with you. You shouldn't. If they're whoremongers, you're judging the people they're sleeping with. You're not judging the people you're not judging the guys. You're judging by calling them whoremongers. You're still judging the people who are sleeping with them, and not vice versa. But still, I don't think, as long as everybody, in my mind, as long as the people are having consented to sex, as long as everybody consents to what's going on, it doesn't hurt anybody else. Shouldn't be anybody else's business. So, again, and the only reason that I'm calling men sluts in these videos is just to make a rhetorical point about them creating the problem they're complaining about while they're calling women sluts. So it's a rhetorical point that I'm making. I know my sister will go to the gay parties and pick the most attractive guy, and we usually end up going home with him for better or for worse. Now, nah, there's always a problem. Good night, Mish. If I haven't caught you yet already. I'm still catching up with the chat. See, Kimchi, best man in friend's wedding. His mom basically patted me down before it started. She failed to check the usher I was working with to cause some fun. Let's see. Most women fall for a great sense of humor when problems come, and they will. A sense of humor gets you through. It's probably why one of the reasons I've been so successful in dating is because making somebody laugh is a good way to make the clothes fall off. So, anyway. Good point on calling the guy a whoremonger, judging the woman too. I am not a flesh hammer though. I mean, I'm not saying you are, just sometimes you got to watch what words you use. I'm very careful and very limited on who I call sluts. And so when I'm calling them sluts, I call them sluts specifically because it's to make the rhetorical point. And the only other person you should call a slut, in my opinion, are the people who are willing, who like being called sluts because that's their kink. So, Adam West says, gay, trans, alternate people tend to be a little more whorish because their pool gets getting restricted but limited by bigotry, straight culture, so no choice. How would you feel if you could get arrested? It's a good point. If you got to keep it on the down low, you're only going to keep it with other people who are going to keep it on the down low. So therefore, you gotta do what you gotta do. You gotta do what you gotta do. You gotta do what you gotta do. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, but this took a long ass turn after the coming to term, or the, I keep calling it coming to terms. It's unraveling toxic masculinity. For some reason, I just realized I lost a follower on Twitch. That's weird, but oh well, it is what it is. Yeah, like I always, usually when I'm doing these videos on like the toxic masculinity stuff, especially when dealing with like the Whatever podcast and the Fresh and Fit podcast, I'm usually using like cis normative, heteronormative language. Simply because of the fact that that's how they talk. It's kind of like how when Biden at the State of the Union, just to do a callback, when Biden at the State of the Union was talking to MTG and he referred to undocumented migrants, undocumented workers as illegals, it was kind of like him doing that because he was in the conversation with her and referring to them as her. Now he regrets saying it, but he was in the conversation with her, so he's going to use her language back at her. And I'm not necessarily saying that I would have done that, but still, it was kind of heat of the moment type thing. But at a girls' college soccer game, and heard a girl call the goalie a C-word, I couldn't believe that one. I mean, it's weird, though, because depending on your culture and where you live and your ethnicity sometimes, what you get called will really determine how pissed off you get. Like, you could call a white woman a B word and, they won't be that upset. But if you call them the C word, they'll get pissed off. Call a black woman the C word, they'll be less pissed off if you call them the B word. Stereotypically speaking, in many cases. So, although my youngest son used to walk around saying, see you next Tuesday. So I'll save the word, the C word, for people like MTG and Bobo the Clown. So, but usually I tend to not use the word in any sort of context. So it is what it is. P-Dubs, are you still here? Are you still lingering around in the chat? Because P-Dubs is doing some selling some homemade dog biscuits, small, medium, and large. Shipping will apply. Makes two different kinds. She has PayPal info that she can send, but anyway, so I'm more than happy to help P-Dubs sell, but maybe we'll talk about it Wednesday if she's not here now. So I've heard that in England, it's weird. In England, it's weird because in England you have different ways that people talk about things. Like the first time that the guy Stephen, who's the author whose writing courses I've attended, the first time he heard the term fanny pack, he was like, "What?" Because to them, the fanny is not a butt. To them, the fanny is the vulva. So they're like, "What? Why? You want your fanny packed? What?" So to them, that's weird. And lots of different ways of, you know, in England, you don't put the middle finger up, you do this or whatever. So there's lots of cultural differences across the pond, so to speak. So, but yeah, in England, I don't think it's as much of a bad word as it is here, although I think it still is a bad word. Yeah, I wouldn't. That's Steve, you giggled there. That's good. I still wouldn't walk into like the House of Lords or House of Commons and call somebody that. I mean, maybe one somebody who worked at the House of Lords or House of Commons might call somebody that or whatever. Anyway, I think I've run out of topics for tonight, unless we're going to talk about who would or wouldn't call people the C word. That could be a fun thing all day long, I guess. But, yeah, Jolie just posted. Thank you, Jolie. You can support the show, liberaldan.com. Patreon.liberaldan.com or patreon.com/liberaldan. Either way gets you there to be a Liberal Dan Radio patron. You could support the show Reset briefly. Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left. That's right. Mondays, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Central here on YouTube, which it's youtube.com/liberaldanradio or just liberaldanradio.com. You can go to twitch.tv/liberaldanradio to get to the Twitch page. You can you can follow there for free. You can subscribe on YouTube for free. You can get a subscription on Twitch for free if you have Amazon Prime. Otherwise, there's various ranges of costs there. You can gift subscriptions if you want to help to show out that way. You can gift subscriptions on or gift memberships on YouTube or buy memberships, buy super chats, etc. Who knows? Within the next 4 days, I am going to find out what my new paycheck looks like with the new with my new insurance costs on it. So we're going to know how horrible my finances look like. So if I look very depressed on the next show, it may very well be that my paycheck hit and I'll be like, I'm broke. Welcome to Broke Dan Radio. Talk from the broke that's broke. We'll see. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of things that go in on, like, I can't, like, just because it's $450 or whatever, a paycheck, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to see $450 less a paycheck because it's pre-tax. So therefore, you get less taxes taken out of the check. So it may be $300 less. It may be $350. It may be $250 less. It may drop us into the next tax bracket. So we have even less taken out. I don't know. So, Adam West says, yeah, they say it more like that. with a long O's. I could probably do an accent for you if you want me to. If it's Irish, or if it's Scottish, or any other type of British accent if you want. Anyway, yep, squaw means the same things, but the natives meant it with love. Oh, that reminds me of a joke. A chief a Native American head of the tribe had three wives or squaws. One of them had, he was blind, so he could only tell the difference between each of the wives by the types of hides that they wore. So the first one had a wolf hide, and she had one son. And the second one had an elk hide, and she had one son. And the third one had a hippopotamus hide, and she had two sons with him. So the moral of the story is, the sons of the squaw of the hippopotamus are equal to the sons of the squaws of the other two hides. And with that, let's see. I don't even know if I've actually see the show end part then. I should be running away from being people throwing pitchforks and arrows at me at the, anyway. So this is the end of today's episode of Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left, that's right. Tomorrow I'll be on Twitch on my Nerdy Dan channel, twitch.tv/nerdydan.com if you want to join me. Probably somewhere between 7 and 8. Just follow me over there, twitch.tv/nerdydan.com, and you'll get notified when I go live. Otherwise, I'll be back Wednesday, 8 p.m. Central, here on YouTube, liberaldanradio.com, or twitch.tv/liberaldanradio. Again, big thanks and shouts out to Hal for having me on the show last Friday. Hope to be out again soon. Until next time I see you, this is Dan Zimmerman with Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left. That's right.